Good morning, everybody. Sorry about the little bit of a late start. We're here at Chabad, Lubavitch Yeshiva here in Cincinnati. They just concluded Shachris. Welcome to Introduction to Talmud 101. I'm your host, Shmuel Plotzker, welcome at the Synagogue, School of Jewish Studies, and the School of Jewish Studies travels the world. Wherever I find myself, that's where the school is, and that's a good thing. So we're studying Tractate Tainus. We are on page 3b. And last week, we took a look at dew and wind. There was a treatment of a brisa. There was a whole explication of a brisa. You'll remember a Tana taught in a brisa that the sages did not obligate one to mention praise of God for dew and wind, for tau and ruchot, but if one wants to, one can, but you're not obligated to do it. And the question is why? And Rabbi Hanina said, because they're never withheld. Because you couldn't, the Almighty created a world in which you need dew and you need wind, so he therefore doesn't withhold it ever, because if he did, we wouldn't be able to really survive very easily. You need the vegetation, you need dew, and the human beings need wind to move things around, cool things down, and so on. Okay, so that was a whole treatment about dew and wind. Now we're going to get into Roman numeral 2. That was Roman numeral 1. Now Roman numeral 2 in the outline. Now we're going to look at clouds and winds, okay? Clouds and winds. And we're on 3b, kind of smack in the middle. Tana, a Tana taught in a brisa, ba'avim uveruchos, regarding clouds and winds, lo chivu chachamim la'askir. The sages did not obligate people, did not obligate Klal Yisrael, lahazkir, to mention. Lahazkir, of course, is a verb, it's a hifil verb. It's a verb, it's to cause to remember. Okay, lahazkir means to remember. Lahazkir is to cause to remember, and that's usually translated in English as to mention something. So the sages did not obligate anybody to mention praise for clouds or winds in Shemoneh Esrei, in the Amidah prayer, they're not obligated to do it. But if somebody does want to, if somebody does wish to mention clouds or winds, maskir, he may indeed mention. And we're told, Rashi says that if you wanted to say a prayer about how Hashem causes the clouds to make appearances, so then it would be makasher of him. He causes the clouds to cluster. He causes the clouds to cluster. Nobody, I've never heard this prayer in my life. It's a new one on me. I'm glad Rashi told us this. It's truly something that I never knew, and I never would have known, because I've never seen it in the Siddur, and I've never heard anybody say it. And what can I tell you? That's just how it is. I mean, nobody says a prayer praising God for causing clouds to cluster. But it's recorded, you know, in the Talmud, that you're able to make the prayer. But the question is, what was the prayer? And Rashi tells you, Makasher of him. It's altogether new to me. I've never heard of it. Here we go. So that, as we say in Chappelle's language, that is a statement of law, that the sages don't require you to say a prayer, but if you want to, you can. Okay? Now here comes an informational question. My Tama, why is it not obligatory? Why would that, it's not an attack question, so per se, I don't think it's attacking the foundations. We're just looking for info. Why is that? You're telling me that you're not obligated to make the prayer, but why? So my Tama, what's the reason why you're not obligated to say this prayer praising God for clouds and winds? And the answer given to the informational question is, Mishum delo me'atzre, because they're never withheld. Because God does not withhold clouds and winds, and therefore, since it's such a needed thing, it's a daily occurrence thing, it could be even by the minute, by the hour, it's a constant thing that the clouds come, clouds go. Wind comes, wind goes. It's a constant thing throughout the day. So since it's such a constant thing, and the Almighty created the world, where you need clouds to ultimately give rain, and you need wind in order to be able to move out the heat. So how could we live without it? So because it's such a necessity, and it's such a built-in, it's so baked into creation, you're not obligated to praise God about it, because it's never withheld. I personally, I would have thought that all the more reason to praise God. Like also with the dew and the wind. I mean, you need dew, the vegetation needs dew. Nobody's asking me my feelings or my thoughts, so I could just share with you. But I would have thought that if Hashem's, you know, making the world a certain way, and then he performs every day, and even by the minute, he gives you a gust of wind to cool you down, and he gives you some clouds to cover up the hot sun. Have you ever been in a hot day? Along come some clouds, and they get in front of the sun, and for a few minutes, you've got some relief, because now it's not shining down on you so heavy and so hot. So some of us appreciate that. So I would have thought that you really ought to praise the Almighty all the more, but it's not the case. Okay, so we have a statement of law and an informational question with an answer. And now, here comes an attack question. V'lo ma'atrei, you really think that they're not withheld? You really think that clouds are not withheld from humanity? You really think that wind is not withheld from humanity? That's not true. Of course they are. You'll see in a moment, we're going to have biblical proof that they're withheld. So what kind of talk is this that clouds are never withheld, wind is never withheld? I'll prove to you that they are. And again, we're now in an attack question. You really think that clouds and wind are never withheld? But Rav Yosef taught in the Brisa the following. That the Pasuk says, we just said it this morning, in Kriya Shema, Ba'atzaras HaShemaya, if you're not going to behave, if you're not going to do what God tells you through the Torah, what do you think Hashem is going to do to you? He's going to withhold stuff. Ba'atzaras HaShemaya. How do you translate those words? They appear right in Kriya Shema. Hashem is going to restrain the heavens. La'atzar means like to stop or to hold back. Okay? When you get on a bus in Israel and you need the bus to stop, so you ring the bell or you pull down a wire, and so, you know, it lights up, at least when I was there, in the front, the sign would light up electronically, Atzor, which means stop. And it's a command form. So the Pasuk is saying that Hashem is going to be Otzer et HaShemaya, because it's couched in the past tense, put a vav in front of it. So in the past tense, it would mean he stopped up the heavens. Put a vav in front, he will stop up the heavens. He will restrain the heavens. Now, you have to appreciate that when you're studying, when you're reading the Kriya Shema, when you're reading the Pasuk, here's how it goes. If you don't behave properly, he'll restrain the heavens, and there won't be any rain. There won't be any matar. There won't be any rain. That's how you read it. Hashem's going to restrain the heavens, and he's going to withhold the rain. That's how you can read that. That's a legitimate reading. However, it's not necessarily a midrashic reading, not necessarily a Talmudical reading, where we put everything under a microscope and we dissect a pasuk, you know, into words, okay? So over here, we're going to dissect this pasuk. The Atzar Es HaShemayim, Hashem is going to restrain the heavens. What do you think that means? Because we have not yet gotten to the next three words. The next three words are, he's going to stop the rain. Don't go there just yet. No, take it easy. We're in Talmudical mode now. We're in Midrash mode now. You have to understand how these three words are standalone. They stand all by themselves. Hashem's going to restrain the heavens. What do you think that can mean, that he's going to restrain the heavens? And don't say to me that that means he's not going to send rain. No, we keep the rain out of this, because that's the next idea. And we're dissecting the pasuk like a surgeon. You have to appreciate that that's what we're doing in this brisa. So Rabbi Yosef says, Ba'atzaras HaShemayim, he's going to restrain the heavens. Stop. What does that mean? Stop right there. Now you think to me, what do you think that means? I mean, any first grader can tell you that if Hashem's going to restrain the heavens, he's not going to send rain. And my response would be, I kind of agree with you. I agree that that's, you know, push-up shot. That's how you read it. But that's not how the Talmud is going to read it. You've got to get inside the rabbinic mind. We are dissecting this pasuk. So what do these three words all by themselves mean? Hashem's going to restrain the heavens? Min ha'avim u'min ha'ruchos. It means he's going to restrain sending clouds. He's going to restrain sending the winds. How about that? Okay, the heavens are going to be prevented from providing clouds and winds. You didn't see that coming, did you? You thought that all it means is, you know, that the way you were taught in first grade and second grade, that's how you read it forever. Not when you hit the Talmud, okay, and when you open up a midrash. Not going to be like that. Dratzar Shemayim, Hashem's going to restrain the heavens from sending clouds and sending winds. Okay, so now you're already appreciating where the attack question is going, because we initially started off today's shiur by saying that Hashem always sends the clouds. He always sends the winds. Couldn't live without him. And now Yosef is saying, not so fast. Hashem, if you don't behave, the Almighty will stop up the heavens, and you won't get wind, and you won't get clouds. And that's what's meant by the Atzaras HaShemayim. He's going to prevent the heavens. He's going to stop up the heavens. From what? From clouds and wind. And the Brisa continues, Ata Omer Min Ha'avim Min Ha'ruchos. You want to argue that the Pasuk means that the heavens are going to be prevented from providing clouds and winds. Away Ela Min Ha'matar. Maybe we should just read it first grade style, you know, elementary school. That all it means is you're not going to get rain. That's exactly how you normally interpret those words. God will stop up the heavens and not send rain. And you read it like that, and it makes a little sense in the world, because that's how people talk. So you find rabbis who say that the Torah expresses itself b'lashon b'nei adam, or k'lashon b'nei adam, the way that humankind, the way that people speak, that's how often the Torah speaks. But that's not how Rabbi Akiva feels about it, for instance. He will dissect it, and he'll separate these three words from those three words. And don't be surprised if Rabbi Yosef is taking the same approach. Okay, so at least initially right now we're saying, wait a second, your understanding that the words of Ataras HaShemayim, that the heavens are going to be prevented, you think it means no rain, no clouds and no wind? Maybe it simply means no rain. So now Bryce is going to answer us on our little internal question that we just asked. Kishu Omer. But when the pasuk continues and it says, the lo yiyah matar, and there will be no rain, sahare matar amar. So you see that rain is mentioned when rain has to be mentioned. Okay? So you see already that that's where we have to dissect this pasuk. Three words say, the heavens will be stopped up. The next three words say, and there'll be no rain. So I already know there'll be no rain, because it says it explicitly. So if that's true, if God goes out of his way to tell me explicitly there's going to be no rain, so how about the first three words? What could they mean? That the heavens are going to be stopped up. Stopped up from what? Prevented from what? I mean, again, we're in the Talmudical mind now. We're not in first grade anymore. What is God meaning when he says, I'm going to stop up the heavens? And two words later, he's already telling you, he's not going to give you any rain. So then what does he mean when he says he's stopping up the heavens? It can only be, Ha'ani Mekayim Ratzar HaShemayim. So how am I supposed to explain or understand the words that the heavens are going to be stopped up? Min ha'avim min ha'ruchos. It can only be that Hashem is going to stop up the rain and the wind and the clouds. That's what's going to be stopped up from heaven. We're reading it Talmudically, Midrashically, and sometimes you got to just park your first grade brain at the door and appreciate that we are in Talmudical mode, where every word, and sometimes every two or three words, is or are put under a microscope, and you have to simply go along with that method of reading. So at all events, what am I left with? I'm left with an attack question, because the attack question was, what do you mean? You make a statement that there's always going to be wind, there's always going to be clouds, Is that true? I just showed you a brisa where it says explicitly in the Parsha of Shema, if you don't behave yourself, you're not going to have any wind. You're not going to have any clouds. That's what it means when it says Hashem's going to stop up the heavens. So you see that Hashem can and will decide to, if he feels like it, stop up the heavens by not providing the wind and clouds. So how could you make a statement that clouds and wind are always there? So maybe they're not going to always be there. Because our understanding, Hashem can stop up the heavens and not send the clouds and the wind. Good attack question. Says the Talmud, no, you're right, Tashi Rukos Arukos. So you see there's a contradiction between the first Bryce's position on wind, where it's never with them, and this Bryce that we just read from Rabbi Yosef, where it can theoretically be with them. The times there are, that they are indeed with them. Kasha of Ma'av, same thing to the crowds, they're going to be, there's a contradiction in the first understanding of the Bryce, they're never with crowds and never with them. In Rabbi Yosef's Bryce, they can indeed sometimes be with them. So what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do? Good question. That's the ultimate, that's the capstone of the attack question. And now here's the answer. Avim lokach. There is indeed, at the end of the day, don't worry about it. There's really no difficulty. There's no contradiction. There's no dispute between these two brises. Okay? Habacharfe, habaafle. And one you have charfe, one you have afle. What does that mean? Let's take a look. Habacharfe, because in this brisa, a brisa which talks about the clouds never being withheld, and that was the first brisa where we make a statement that the clouds are never withheld. And if you don't have to thank God for them, because they're always there, that's how he built the world. So habacharfe. Because in the first brisa, we're talking about clouds that are never withheld. Those are early clouds. Those are charfe, they're early clouds, clouds which precede the rain. Those are always up there in the sky. They're always floating around. Sometimes they cause rain, sometimes they don't, maybe, but they precede the coming of rain. And how could you have rain unless you have clouds forming together and flowing down the water? How do you have rain? So we're talking about in the first place where clouds are never withheld. Those are clouds that are up in the heavens. Have you ever seen them? Even in a sunny day, you see clouds. And they're little puffs of cotton. That's how I like to look at them. They're little puffs of cotton all the way up in the sky. And they're not providing any rain, but still they're up there. So those clouds are always up there. You know, okay, you have a clear day once in a while. But then you have regular days, even sunny days, and you still have clouds in the sky. Those are always there. That's what that price was talking about. This price of Rav Yosef, Haba Afle, where it says the clouds may be indeed withheld at times. It's talking about late clouds which follow the rain. Once you've already had a rain, then there are going to be times when there's going to be later clouds after the rain, and sometimes no, there won't be any clouds after the rain. So over there you see that's what Rabbi Yosef is talking about, that he can, that the Almighty will, if you don't behave yourself, he's going to withhold the later clouds which follow the rain. There's only one problem. It's occurring to me right now. Where's the punishment? So have you thought about this? Where is the punishment? If God is saying, if you don't behave yourself, I'm going to stop up the heavens, and you and I thought, if you don't behave, not going to get any rain. No, according to this brisa, those three words, I'm going to stop up the heavens, mean, those words mean, I'm not going to send wind and clouds. But then we have to clarify what kind of clouds we're talking about. And the answer given is, and that brisa where there's, they're explicating the words, we're going to stop up the heavens. It's talking about later clouds which follow the rain. So if they are clouds which follow the rain, then you already had rain.
What about passing clouds that don't fall away of that area, but they make rain over some other area?
Okay, let me just read you the footnote.
Also, there's no clouds. cloud makes way, clouds pour down the rain. So if there's no clouds, then there's no rain.
Uh-huh.
So then will the rain just come out of the sky with the rain on a regular day?
Yeah, but we're talking about punishment. If you're talking about punishment, where is the punishment? In not having any clouds after the rain. The rain already fell. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for rain. God gave me the rain. So even if I'm misbehaving, I'm getting rain. And all I'm getting, though, as punishment, is I'm not going to get any clouds after the rain. What kind of punishment is that? That's not punishment. I don't care about clouds after a rainstorm. I'm, as a farmer, I'm happy I got the rain.
Maybe during the summer.
Okay, here's the footnote. This might help us. Since at least some clouds, that is to say, the ones that precede the rain, since at least some clouds are never withheld, the first Bricer rules that it's not obligatory to make mention of clouds in our prayers. It's just that I don't know how to, I don't know what to do. I mean, you know, God is going to restrain the heavens. So you kind of paint yourself into a corner where you had another Bryce, now we're going to try to reconcile them. But in the reconciliation of the two Bryces, you wind up saying that there are late clouds which follow the rain. But the whole chapter in the Bible is talking about how if we misbehave, if we don't behave ourselves properly, we're going to get punished. And God says, I'm going to withhold, you know, the heavens, and you won't get rain. So I hear. I guess you have to say, all right, here's the possibility. Remember, if you're not behaving right, then God's going to do a two-pronged approach on you, on us. We're not going to have winds. We're not going to have clouds. What kind of clouds are we not going to have? Clouds which come after the rain. We won't get those. And that'll be punishment. And so my response is, no, at least I got rain. And your answer should be, not necessarily. Because now take a look at the next three words. And the next three words in the Torah text are, simply put, below ye amatzar, there won't be any rain. So I can't wiggle out of this. If Hashem is saying, if you're going to misbehave, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to withhold clouds. I'm going to withhold wind. Below ye amatzar, and there won't be any rain. So you thought, at least I'm going to get rain. I'm not going to get the clouds after the rain, but at least I'll get rain. And the answer is, no, we're not. We're not going to get any rain. If we're going to misbehave, we're going to get a lot of things withheld. No winds, no clouds, and no clouds after the rain. And we're not going to get rain either. So we're really going to suffer. There'll be no rain, there'll be no clouds after the rain, and there'll be no wind. So it's going to be really bad. So don't think you can somehow escape the ultimate punishment. The ultimate punishment is no rain. No rain, no vegetation. No vegetation, no food. But we have a problem there. So we really have to behave ourselves. We continue. And what about the winds? We explained the clouds. What about winds? Says the Talmud, and here's an answer on that attack question regarding the friction, regarding the seeming tension between the two brightnesses and the apparent contradiction or dispute between them regarding wind. One says, oh, it's going to be wind. The other one says, no, you're not going to have wind. So which is it? Answer the Talmud, ruchos or ruchos lokash. Same thing, it's not going to be any difficulty regarding the first price, which talks about that you're going to get, always going to have wind. And this other price, which says, not necessarily are you always going to have wind. And there's no question. Habaruch Matsuya, Habaruch She'ena Matsuya. One price is talking about one particular kind of wind. The other price is talking about a different kind of a wind. Let's see what is going on. Habaruch Matsuya. Because the first price, which tells you that winds are never withheld, that's talking about Ruach Mitzuya, a found wind, literally a wind that's found, meaning a wind that's around, meaning it's a constant. It's a wind, it's a normal wind. And normal winds we always have, because that's the way God baked it right into the creation, that we're going to have wind so we can live. I mean, how could you live without any wind, which takes away heat, takes away humidity? I mean, you need that. And God understands that. He creates a world which needs it, so he puts it into the world. So that's always around. That's the first price he's talking about. The first price says that you didn't have to praise God for wind, because it's talking about normal wind. And it's always there. And that's true, we are always confronted by wind. Very typical little gust, a little cool breeze. That's always, even in a hot day, you can get a cool breeze. So that's baked into the creation. Habruach she'ena mitzuya. But the other brisa talking about how God's going to stop up the wind, what's he talking about over there? There God's talking about holding back very, very unusual. She'ena mitzuya, those are extraordinary winds. Like, you know, I don't know, tornadoes or, you know, 100 mile per hour winds that come with storm systems and knock trees down and line poles down and everything. So those are not downed usually. You're not going to find those every single day. That's an unusual thing. Every so often you have a couple of years ago, 10 years ago, there was a windstorm and it knocked stuff down around here in Cincinnati. It was a windstorm. You know, gusts of wind came in at 75, 80 miles an hour, and it was tearing stuff up. I remember that. And when people lost power because the wind came and knocked everything down. Not everything, but a lot. So you have occasionally a windstorm, an extraordinary storm. And that's what God's talking about when he says, look, when God says, I'm going to stop up the heavens, it means regarding wind, I'm not going to send extraordinary winds on a regular basis. I'm going to stop up the heavens from that. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a punishment to me. You know, I don't know how to say this, but that sounds like a reward. Imagine, God says, if you misbehave, I'm not going to send any windstorm, tear up your property, and I'm going, thank you, God. I guess I should keep this up. I won't listen to you, God, because when I don't listen to you, you promise to withhold windstorms from me. I like that because I don't particularly care for windstorms. They ruin things. But if you're willing to withhold the windstorms, gusts of wind and tornadoes or whatever, then I'm perfectly cool with that.
There's no wind anymore. Wind.
No, we are going to have wind, which is explained that Hashem is always, without fail, sending normal winds that you utilize every single day. But what is God not going to send? What is he going to withhold? He's going to withhold from you extraordinary winds. And I'm not sure how you feel. Winds of unusually high intensity. Normal winds suffice to ensure the world exists, and they're never withheld. So that you don't have to make mention of them in prayer. But extraordinary winds, that Hashem's going to hold back. And I'm going, great, that is beautiful. I don't want extraordinary winds. They destroy stuff.
You need a lot of wind.
No, I don't feel like that. Normal wind is what you need in order to breathe. But windstorms of 100 miles an hour, nobody needs that. That just tears up electrical lines and destroys crops potentially and uproots trees. How is that serving anybody? So I have a question on the Talmud. Extraordinary winds. So how is that? So how is this a punishment? Anybody? Anybody out there want to weigh in? Hashem says, if you don't behave, I'm going to stop up the heavens from winds. What kind of winds? Oh, extraordinary winds. I'm going, good. Stop up the heavens from extraordinary winds, and that's going to be great. I don't understand. I think I have an attack question. All right, let me just see. Maybe I should look over some Tysus, and maybe he's got my question in his mind. Not so clear. Very cryptic. I have to reread that. But right now we're doing elementary Talmud, so let's continue. And we're going to end off with an attack question and an answer. That's going to be perfect textually and also time-wise. It's going to be great. Ruach she'enim. Okay, one second. According to this answer, let me read you a little Art Scrollian footnote. According to this answer, extraordinary winds may be withheld at times, and yet we don't have to make mention of wind in our prayers, because extraordinary winds are not essential, and the provision of normal wind is already guaranteed. So the Talmud is going to ask, Ruach she'ena mitzuya chazya levei dare. But here the rabbis find a good purpose, a good usage for extraordinary wind. When I think extraordinary wind, I think storm system. I think terrible. I think windstorm. I see trees uprooted in Cincinnati. I see electrical lines down. I see punishment. So Hashem's saying, oh, if you're going to misbehave, I'm going to withhold the punishment. Do that all day long. I'm the happiest guy in the world if you keep windstorms away from me. But the rabbis are going to find a positive usage for extraordinary wind. There's going to be a good thing coming out of a windstorm for the rabbis. And that's why they're going to say, but we need a windstorm in order to be able to get through the day. Where do you see an example where we need a windstorm? I don't want any windstorms. I don't know about you, but I don't want any. Says the Talmud, but yeah, we do actually want a windstorm. Well, really? Where do you want a windstorm? What for? Listen to this. Ruach she'ena mitsuya, an extraordinary wind, chazil v'garet. Such extraordinary winds are appropriate for what? For the silo. When you have, I don't know, wheat, and you're storing up wheat. So the extraordinary wind is a good thing for separating the chaff from the grain in a silo. Then you really do need extraordinarily strong wind. Then it's a good thing. And if that's the case, then it should therefore be obligatory to make mention of winds for the sake of this purpose, says the Art Scroll, fleshing it out. Maybe we should praise God, that you do send the wind. Maybe we should go out of our way to praise the Almighty for wind, not for daily wind that you and I are talking about, Mendel, where you need wind in order to breathe. That didn't have to, according to this, you don't have to praise God for that because it's a given. Hashem gives it to you on a silver platter. And it's understood that without it, we couldn't live. So what's the need to thank God for something that he builds into the system and without which you can't survive? For the rabbis, you didn't have to make a prayer to praise God for that. But what would you need to have a prayer for? Theoretically, you should be praising God for sending extraordinary winds, super duper strong windstorms. Why? Because that's useful. Because in the mind of the rabbis, you need that extraordinarily strong wind to separate the chaff from the wheat. And if that's the case, I occasionally need those winds also. And if that's true, I should be praising God for them. And how come I don't? Why don't I praise God for extraordinary wind? In theory, I should be. Good question. Is there an answer? Here's the answer. And that'll end up this little mini sugya. Answer the Talmud. You know why we're not praising God for the extraordinary wind that comes every so often, which comes for our benefit? In the rabbinic mind, we need it for separating chaff from wheat. In the Plotskarian mind, don't send it, please. I mean, I don't know about you, but we'll separate the chaff from the wheat some other way. Don't send the windstorm, God. But in the rabbinic mind, we need that windstorm in order to work in the silos to be able to separate chaff from wheat. So if that's the case, how come we're not praising God for such rain winds that we do need? We need extraordinarily strong winds because they do work for us with the wheat. Answer the Talmud, you know why we don't praise God for extraordinary winds? Efshar benaf vasa. It's possible to remove the chaff from the grain with sieves. Therefore, extraordinary winds are not essential, and they're, you know, you thought that they're needed for separating wind from chaff from wheat. Answer, no. We have another way to be able to do that very action. We therefore do not need extraordinary wind, and if we don't need extraordinary wind, then we don't have to praise God for even that extraordinary wind, which you thought, you know, is necessary for the wind and for the chaff and the wheat. The answer is no. We don't need those extraordinary winds to do anything positive. We have another way to do it. Therefore, extraordinary winds are not essential. And therefore, we're not going to be praising God for that either. And therefore, we can now call it a day. I want to thank everybody for coming out today. Thank you all for calling in. With God's help, we'll take up Intro to Talmud 101 again on Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m. Don't miss this afternoon's book club class for my Balk's book, Wisdom from the House of Healing. I prepared it over Shabbos, and it is great. There's so much great stuff in there. Trust me, you don't want to miss it at all. So please join me at 1 o'clock sharp, and we'll do my Balk's book club class. Very exciting. We're halfway through the book, and it's really a great read. So we'll see you there at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And, of course, if you can't make it for that, no problem. Join us tomorrow night for Tanakh Tuesday as we continue our trek through Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. We're now in chapter 2. Wishing everybody a great day, a successful and safe day. Shmuel Plotzker signing off now for Gulf Meadow Synagogue and our School of Jewish Studies held here at the Lubavitch Yeshiva on Section Road in Cincinnati. Wishing everybody a great day. We'll see you at 1 o'clock. Bye-bye.